Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.
As we all know, we're near the end of the Coptic year, which normally, as you know, the Coptic New Year coincides roughly with the beginning of the academic year. We're about to celebrate the Coptic New Year in about 10 days. So the church, as a faithful mother, reminds us as we are coming to the end of the year that our life here on earth will also come to an end. And in fact, as we heard the words of the Lord, not only our life on earth will come to an end, but life as we know it on earth will come to an end. And the Lord commands us to be prepared, as he says, take heed, watch, and pray, because we do not know when our time will come. So we're going to talk today about just 3 points about the kingdom of God, or the kingdom of heaven, or the kingdom of life. The first point is the stages of life. And we're going to cheat from Abuna Barsoom's sermon last night. Those who were with us will hear what he said in Arabic again in English. The first point is about the stages of life. The second point will discuss a choice that we need to make concerning life. And then the third point is to listen to the Lord's words and be prepared for the coming life. But before we start our talk, we want to take a quick survey. If you wish, please close your eyes for 1 second. Close your eyes for 1 second and answer this question. Close your eyes so that you answer your own question and don't look at your neighbors. I'll close my eyes as well and answer the question. If the Lord Jesus came today and asked you, would you like to come with me to heaven? Who would say yes? Okay? And we can open our eyes now. You all know what you said. I don't know what you said because I had my eyes closed as well. So we'll come back to this point in a minute. But let's talk first about the stages of life. And I'm not speaking about the stages of life here on earth, infancy, adolescence, etc. As Abuna told us last night, Father reminded us that we are created to live forever. So the first stage of life is our life here on earth. Our first stage is life here on earth, where we have a body. And unlike animals, we also have a spirit. We're distinguished from the creatures and the beasts who are animals. We are humans, we have a body and spirit. And during this first stage of life, those two are united. My human spirit is united with my human body, wherever I go. This first stage comes to an end for all of us when our human spirit separates from our human body. And what they do with my human body when it separates from the spirit, they put my body back into the dust where it came from. But no problem, because the more important part of me, my spirit, is, God willing, going to go to be with its creator in the paradise of joy. And I say God willing because it's not for sure that my spirit is going to go to the paradise of joy, because there's another place, God forbid, that the spirits of those who are not prepared are going to go. But let's stay focused. God willing, when I depart from this life, from this first stage of my existence, my spirit will go to the paradise of joy. And this is the second stage of my existence, where my spirit is with the Lord, with the spirits of the saints, Saint Mary, all the martyrs and saints, our parents who preceded us in departure, those loved ones of ours who are waiting with the Lord, their spirits waiting in the paradise of joy. Now, as great, we will not speak about the paradise today, but as wonderful as paradise is, there's even a more wonderful place to come, which is not yet open for anyone. And that place is the kingdom of heaven, our ultimate destination. So when are we going to go, God willing, to heaven? And that, of course, is the third and final stage, because it's our destination is where we're focused on. When heaven will be open is when the Lord will come the second time. When the Lord came the first time, he came in humility and in meekness and humbleness, and he was crucified on the cross to open actually the paradise of joy, so that our spirits can now rest when they depart with him in the paradise of joy. When he comes the second time, he's going to open the ultimate destination, which is the kingdom of heaven. But of course, it's not open to everyone. It's only open to those who are now resting their spirits in the paradise of joy. So to summarize this first point, our first stage, here on earth, we all live. Second stage, our spirit departs from our body. God willing, our spirit goes to paradise, our body buried in the ground from which it came. Third and final stage, God willing, Christ comes again on the clouds. Everyone sees him. Our spirits reunite with our bodies. He transforms our bodies into spiritual beings able to enter the kingdom of heaven with him and the procession of angels and saints. Okay? This point sometimes is confusing because we sometimes say heaven when we mean paradise and vice versa, but there are actually two separate places. Paradise for the spirits waiting to go into heaven. Now let's talk about the second point, which is why we asked the question at the beginning. If the Lord came and asked today, would you like to go with me to heaven? Because we saw the signs that were read by Father in the liturgy gospel reading. Many of those signs are actually already happening. We can't say for sure when the end of this world will come, but the end will come. And if the end of this world doesn't come in a general sense, the end of my life will come in a specific sense, maybe a year from now, maybe 100 years from now. I don't know when, but it is like St. James, we heard the deacon read in the reading, St. James said about this life. He said, it is even a vapor that appears for a little time and then vanishes away. That's the first stage. First stage is like a vapor. Anyone seen water vapor? Do you look at it and it stays for a long time? It disappears and you forget that the vapor was even there. When we move to the second stage, we'll look back at our life here and we'll say, oh, it was just a vapor. It was nothing to be overly concerned about. For those of you who attended the St. Mary's Spiritual Revival, one of the sermons given on the Friday night was one of the priests, Abuna Michael Tudary from Montreal. His sermon with the sermons of the fathers is on the website if you haven't heard it. But he gives a good story, we won't repeat it now for the sake of time, that is really worth listening to in that sermon, where he compares our life here and our preparation here to the preparation for the life to come. And he notices that many of us spend a lot of effort to prepare, which is good, but it's not the preparing that the Lord's talking about. The Lord's talking about preparing for the life which is after here. Many of us prepare for this life. Nothing wrong with that, to prepare by studying, by getting good jobs, by laboring here. But there's a more important preparation that the Lord says we have to prepare for the life that comes after this. And that's where we have to make a choice. And this choice has to be very clear. There's only a choice to either accept, to want to go to heaven, or to reject and say, I don't want to go to heaven. And even in the Old Testament, from the very beginning, Moses, the Ark Prophet, when he was advising the children of Israel at the time of his departure, you'll read at the fifth book of the Old Testament, which is Deuteronomy, the fifth book of Moses, we'll read Deuteronomy 30:15. He says to everyone, this is to us as well, see, I have set before you today life and good, death and evil. It's up to you. I'm giving you life and good, or you could choose death and evil. No one's forcing you. Free country. And then he continues a few verses later that he says, this is serious. He says, I call heaven and earth as witnesses today against you, that I've done my part. What have you done, St. Moses? He says again, that I have set before you life and death, blessing and cursing. Okay? So what do you want us to do? He's not going to leave it there because he loves his children. We know Moses was willing to even say to the Lord, blot my name out of the book of life if you won't save your people. So what does he tell his people? Therefore, he's begging them. He's about to die, the man. He says, therefore, choose life. Therefore, choose life. But he's not going to force you to choose life. And the Lord himself can't force you to choose life, because that wouldn't be fair. You might end up in heaven and say, I didn't want to be here. Why did you bring me here? So it's my choice to choose life, God willing, or God forbid, I could choose the opposite of life. Okay? So I think, I didn't look, but I think many of you put your hand up and say you choose life. So you choose eternal life, full of joy in heaven, full of peace, full of love. And God forbid no one didn't put their hand up, or maybe you misunderstood the question. But if you don't choose life, there's no other option. You either choose life or you choose death. You can't say, I want to choose a bit of life and a bit of death. Or you can't say that sometimes it's so easy to get entrained in this trap and say, I want to pretend to choose life. There's nothing to pretend. We're not here to pretend for each other that we're choosing life. He doesn't care if I'm choosing life or death. You don't care if I'm choosing life or death. It's my decision. Similarly, I don't care if you're choosing life. Well, I do care. We all care about each other. But your choice is between you and God. I could easily pretend to choose life by being a deacon, being a servant, giving nice talks. And you think, oh, he must have chosen life. But you don't know what's inside. God forbid there might be hatred inside. Hatred is darkness, is death. That's not choosing life. There might be evil desires. I may be looking at bad scenes. Then my eyes are not pure. I've chosen death for my eyes. My feet may be taking me to places where God doesn't want me to go. Then I'm choosing death with my feet. My ears might be listening to things that are worldly, carnal, full of, you know, bad emotions. Then I'm choosing death for my ears. So the choice has to be consistent with my behavior. I can't say, yeah, I want to go to heaven, but everything I'm doing is leading me to, God forbid, the other place. Okay? So it is my choice, and we all want to choose life. We have to make the choice clear, because sometimes people will come and complain to Abuna about their children and say, oh, Abuna, so-and-so is not coming to church. If they're asking for Abuna's advice, that's fine. But if you're complaining about your child, most likely your child is doing whatever he sees in the mirror. Whatever he sees you do, he's doing. So you have to be honest with yourself. Are you happy to come to church, or do you see it as a burden? If you see it as a burden, the children will pick it up, and they'll see it as a burden. They don't want to come to church. Oh, maybe they'll come when they're young. No problem, because they have no choice. But we all have a choice at a certain point. So if you want your kids to come, then you come. Last night, Abuna gave a wonderful sermon, and unfortunately, the number of people who came could be counted on two hands, not even more than that. Abuna's waste time, but Abuna spent a lot of time preparing these talks. And the talks come, and a few people come. Some come in, come out. Some listen to something else. Some are preoccupied. No one's going to judge you. You know your time. If you could make time, great. If not, their sermons are posted on the internet. You can benefit so that their labor is not in vain. Now we're going to stop here and shift gears a little bit and say, we are all wanting to go to heaven. We have made a serious choice to go to heaven. We're not just pretending to make the choice, because like we said, we may be able to pretend and trick Abuna, perhaps trick our friends, trick society, even trick our kids, although our kids are the ones who, even if you could trick everyone else, you can't trick your children. But even if you could trick your children, even if I say I could trick myself and say I've convinced myself that I'm a good man, okay? If I convince myself I'm a good man, then I'm a fool because I know that I'm not a good man, so I'm just tricking myself to think that I'm a good man, so that I don't focus on actually becoming a better person. But if I realize that we're all not perfect and we all need to continue to perfect ourselves, then I have to make preparation to the place where ultimately, God willing, I will go. And like we said, first stage here on earth, and Abuna told us last night, if you want to go to heaven, then you have to have the kingdom of heaven within you here on earth in your first stage as well. And that's only fair if you choose to have the kingdom of heaven in you now here on earth, then naturally when you depart from this world, you'll be in paradise, and naturally when the Lord comes, you're ready to enter heaven. So if I want to go on a journey to a faraway land, say I want to make a trip and immigrate from Canada. I want to live in Vietnam. Then if I'm a fool, I'm just going to go to the airport, Air Canada, give me a ticket to Vietnam and then go there. No preparation. If I'm a little wiser, then I have to see, you know, what do I need to do to enter Vietnam? Maybe I go there and they look at me and they say, no, you can't enter the country. I just wasted the whole ticket to get there. And I'm embarrassed at the door of the country that you have to buy a ticket back and come back. Why? Didn't do my homework. I didn't know the conditions to enter Vietnam. So number one, if I'm going to travel, I have to know the entrance criteria of the place I'm going. Number two, if I'm going to go to a far country, and if I believe that my future is there, shouldn't I learn to speak the language of that country? If I'm going to go to Vietnam, I need to know Vietnamese. If I'm going to go to China, I need to learn Chinese. Okay? And number three, similarly, I need to understand the customs of that country. Because I may be behaving a certain way here, and I think it's okay here because my community and my friends behave that way here. I get there, I start behaving that way, and I look kind of strange, and I'm embarrassed again. And say here, I'm used to running around with my clothes full of mud. I go to a country which is, they're clean freaks. They like everything clean. And my white garment is full of mud. They go, who let you in here? I say, what I was doing before, why is it not fine here? Of course it's not. You're in a different land altogether. So number one, if I'm traveling, I have to understand the entrance criteria of the place I'm going to. Number two, understand and learn the language. Understand the language and speak the language. Number three, learn the customs. And number four, of course, you have to learn, you have to work in the place you're going and live. So you need to exchange currency. I'm not going to go to Thailand with Canadian dollars in my pocket. They're not going to take it. If I'm going to go to Thailand, I need whatever currency they have here. And of course, this is all analogous to our destination. If we're planning to go to heaven, we need to understand the entrance criteria of heaven. If I'm going to heaven, I need to be able to speak the language of heaven. If I'm going to heaven, I need to act the way they act in heaven. If I'm going to heaven, I need to have the currency of heaven. So number one, how do I satisfy the entrance criteria of heaven? This one is very easy. Keep myself pure. Because in heaven, they're pure. Keep myself pure. I say very easy, but it's also very hard because I stumble every day. The devil is not going to leave me to be pure. As soon as he sees me, say I was struggling with a sin of impurity. As soon as he sees me trying to go back to the Lord and be pure, he's going to throw at me all kinds of stuff to mess me up. So I really need what the Lord gave as a powerful tool, which is his own body and blood. And of course, I can't take his body and blood until I confess and repent and come back to the Lord. And this is sad sometimes because the Lord is sitting there waiting for me to come back. He's made it as easy as he could possibly, as it could possibly be for me to come back. And sometimes I'm the one who works with the devil to mess myself up and say, oh no, I'm embarrassed to say this to in front of the priest, or what's he going to think of me? I guarantee and ask both priests and any of the priests. The priests do not remember your confessions. They could care less about your confession. All they could care is that your sins are forgiven. Yes, if you ask, they can give you advice. But if you want to confess to them in Dutch or in any other language so they don't understand, ask them if you're that embarrassed. But confess and have your sins be forgiven so that you satisfy the entrance criteria of heaven. No one's going to go to heaven without being pure. And if you're struggling with impurity, get rid of it so that you could enter heaven. Get rid of it by trying hard, repenting, confessing, taking the Lord's body to cleanse you. Number two, how do I speak the language of heaven? What is the language of heaven? What do they speak Jewish, Hebrew? Do they speak Greek in heaven? Do they speak as something, some people, some religion would say Arabic in heaven? What do they speak in heaven? Praises, yes. I think they're actually bilingual in heaven. I think they have two languages. So praises and prayer is definitely a language they speak in heaven. What is the other language they speak in heaven? Love. The language of heaven is love. If my Lord Jesus Christ loved me so much, then I ought to love him in return. and love his brothers. And he also tells me I have to love his commandments, even the ones that seem difficult, that say, love even those who do not love you. If I reach that level, then I'm speaking the language of heaven. If I can't reach that level, then I use the other language, the prayer and the praises, to ask him to help me to learn the language of love. So love, prayer, praises is the language we have to learn here on earth so that we know how to speak to them in heaven. Now the customs. How do I learn the customs of heaven? I now have prepared, I know the entrance of criteria to enter into heaven is I have to be purified, I have to confess and repent. No question. I want to go to heaven, I have to take it seriously. This gospel was put to us at the end of the Coptic year, and similarly, like Abuna told us last night, we all pray in the Ijbeya, the Book of the Hours. If you read the compliant litanies, they're all about the end of life. If you read the midnight prayer, the gospel and the litanies are all about the end of life. This is serious, so the church wouldn't focus so much on it. So I have to be serious in my preparation. So I'm prepared now. I know I have to be pure, confess, repent. I know I have to learn the language of love, prayer, and praises, which is the highest form of prayer. But what's the custom of heaven? Well, the Lord didn't leave us without any information. He gave us this holy book, which has in it, the more we read, the more we understand the customs of heaven. Actually, everything we're doing here, when we go to heaven, we'll go, oh, that's why we did it. We're imitating what they're actually doing in heaven. It's not the other way around. The Lord sat with his disciples for 40 days after he resurrected, before he ascended, and taught them to do exactly this. Why is he teaching them to this? Because it's kind of nice and it keeps us busy on Sundays so we don't get in trouble? No, because this is what they're doing in heaven. And what they did last night in the midnight praise is what they're doing in heaven. So come learn the customs of heaven so you won't be a foreigner when you get there, God willing. And finally, how do I get treasures in heaven? And this one the Lord didn't, again, in his book of customs, he didn't leave us without any clues. In fact, he said it clearly. He said, in order to get treasure in heaven, you have to do good deeds. When you help the poor, you're getting treasure in heaven. You feed the hungry, you're getting treasure in heaven. You visit the sick, you're getting treasure in heaven. You spend your money to do those things, you've effectively taken your Canadian dollars and you've exchanged them, and one Canadian dollar brought you 10 million billion heavenly liras or whatever we're going to call them in heaven. So you're going to have a treasure in heaven. So don't think when you're giving to the Lord, you're actually giving anything. You're actually taking from the Lord a lot more than you're giving. The smart person is the one who gives as much as he possibly can, because he knows his treasure in heaven is growing and growing. And not only that, just like the Lord said, the kingdom of heaven is within you now, he's also going to bless you and encourage you here on earth so that you continue doing good deeds. So four things we need to do in order to be prepared, because it's the Lord who told us to be prepared. And the Lord doesn't tell us things just haphazardly. He's telling us, and as you heard in the Synaxar, two stories of two wonderful brothers and sisters who dedicated their life to Christ. They're in paradise now waiting to go to heaven. They did these four things. For sure they did these four things. For sure they repented. For sure the saints, even the most pure saints, live a life of repentance. For sure they praised and prayed and learned to love God and all their brothers and sisters. For sure they stuck close to the book of the Lord to understand the customs of heaven. And for sure, they did good deeds, charitable deeds, as much as they possibly can, so that they are not foreigners in heaven. And we need to do the four things if we aim to live a pure life. And whenever we stray or fall, we come right back to the Lord and repent. If we have godly love, and there's different, the word love can have different meanings. Here we're obviously talking about godly love and a life of prayer. If we read our Bibles, do good deeds, then we'll be truly already living a heavenly life here on earth. And so we're ready when he comes. If the Lord comes and we're still here, no problem. If we fall asleep and our spirits go to paradise, no problem. Whenever he comes, we're ready to go with him into our final destination. Whenever he chooses for us or for the world as a whole. so that when we're ready, we can even dare to say with St. John the Beloved. St. John the Beloved, in the book of Revelation, if you go to the last book of the Holy Bible, in the second last verse, he says to the Lord, "Even so, come, Lord Jesus." I think I would be scared to say that right now myself, but God willing, with the grace of God, we can all say that. The grace of our Lord Jesus be with all of us, and glory be to God forever. Amen.